I'm Trenchcoat Mafia. This is Podcast X. With me this time around is Timothy J. Thume. And this is the second and concluding part of our review of Power Man 23.
And anyway, they start shooting at him, and I like this because he said, that high caliber ammunition feels like I'm getting stung by a swarm of steel jacketed hornets. But seeing as how my back will make good as target as my front, I might as well keep coming. And he runs at the guy, even the guy's hurting.
He's not even running. He's just walking slow for like effect. And yeah, he bends the gun and makes it blow up on the guy's face, and I assume, like, well, that should kill him, but it doesn't.
That's Kirby worthy right there, but wham! That's Kirby worthy, right?
Up here. up here. Notice he's thinking, holy mama! He doesn't even think in curses. That's...
Well, you can't curse in a comic book anyway. I just like the thing when he says, this is for you and your bunch of bushwhacking killers, that he meant to say motherfucking.
I'm thinking this is Marvel in the 70s, post-Lee, pre-shooter. He could have cursed and got away with it if nobody, like, caught it.
I don't think so. So, anyway, this is comic code approved. They start running. He chops down a tree, and the tree, I guess he must be in the redwoods because it's the biggest-ass tree I've ever seen. Comes down on him with a doom. And
yeah, damn. I actually had the thought, how long have comics been using doom as a... Were you even born yet?
You talk about, I had my show since the 60s, since the late 60s I've had my show. And that's what that's in reference to my show, my 70s version of my show.
You know, hey, that there's an idea, like the lost episode of Thume, and like you guys are reviewing some brand new comic that just came out, and it's like from 1964.
That's what I used to do back then. Anyway, and then him and his friend DW, they go and take a walk to the city, and a whole bunch of dialogue that I don't think is. I'm trying to see if there's anything here that's worthy. No.
Not really. You know, for a comic that is bi-monthly, there's a lot of wasted space and dialogue in here.
They decided they're going to go to the city to talk to the mayor of the city, because they think that, like dummies, they think that these guys are just using the uniforms of the cops from that city because they have, you know, they have the security.
Well, they are. But that's because they are cops from that city.
And they're going to go ferret out this injustice and talk to the mayor. And they got a couple of the guys, instead of killing them, they tied them up to the bus because Marvel, you can't kill
people. Well, DC too. That's that fucking comics code still yet again fucking everything up. But when they find Security City, DW shouts out, "Shades of Pete Seeger!"
What the fuck?
Shades, I'm going to say, you know, the next time, I got to use that line, like, in any context, like, just Shades of Pete Seeger.
Is he making reference to the fact that the folk singer, well, I don't know if it's folk singer, Pete Seeger, who was like a liberal, did he used to sing songs about stuff like this, about society being?
Well, actually, there's a line in this one caption, as we see Security City, which looks like a project is what it looks like, with a barbed wire fence around it, with how every one of the houses has like these obnoxiously like pink faggy roofs. I don't know what's up.
Hey, is that from a John Kim Cooper Miller Clap song? Little pink houses for you and me. For you and me.
Horrible.
I know that's like a second, a fourth rate Bruce Springsteen jam. Little pink houses for me. Who the fuck wants to live in a pink house?
Well, these people in Security City, we're going to learn, all voluntarily live here because, well, it's a secure city. Secure.
It ain't no city. You know. That's a tract. That, you know, there's a pieces of a suburb that are bigger than this.
Look, look. Just assume Jack Kirby drew it. See, now it's a city in your head. Whereas Ron Wilson's like, they ain't paying me shit. I'm not drawing all that. Fuck that.
And it probably wasn't paying him nothing too. He was black too. And okay, but so what you said, since there, where's the line that you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. In the caption, it refers to a substance known as Ticky Tacky, which is actually in a lyric of a Pete Seeger song. So I guess we're looking at some really dated references here. Like, even when he says shades of Pete Seeger, like, yeah. I don't know, what was he dead at this point? And why would he have, why would he have multiple ghosts if he was dead? Like, there'd be shades, plural, of him. I don't know, but, yeah.
Pete Seeger was big in the 60s, and that's only a few years before this. So I don't know why you think.
I read this when it came out in 74, and as a kid, I had never heard of fucking Pete Seeger.
God,
I didn't
damn.
Know what the fuck he was talking about.
Because he was only four or five.
I had heard of, like, Elvis or...
But you didn't... You couldn't kind of think of the concept of Pete Seeger on any of the songs he was singing or his politics. So, of course, you wouldn't know. You probably barely grasped his comic book. You was a kid. But then, this is you. You probably was 18 years old.
Yeah, okay. Hey, look, meanwhile, you were recording podcasts in 1964, so wait a minute.
Anyway, he walks up to the city because he want to talk to the mayor or something. Now, he should get a hint this city don't want him here when the guard, and that the guards who try to kill him may have something to do with these, the city, because the guards at the gate say, back off, boy, and take that long hair freak with you. This is a planned community. And you ain't included in the design. Oh, thanks for hitting me over the head, Tony Isabella. You son of a bitch.
Now, shit like this really exists, right? I mean, there are quote-unquote planned communities like this that might not necessarily have a barbed wire fence around them, but, like, this is real pretty much, isn't it?
There's gated communities.
What the fuck they're called. Gated communities. There you go.
Anyway.
Wait, do they really have barbed wire and guards and shit?
No, they got walls. but they do have, there's private guards in certain gated communities instead of cops, private security. So what?
Well, I'm just saying that Tony Isabella at least is clearly like making a statement about places like that and the kind of people who live there.
Yeah, and it's just really, really broad statement. It's easy to come to that conclusion, you know?
Yeah, but see, again, given that I was a little kid when I would have read this, like, yeah, you got to work in broad strokes like that.
You're a little kid, you still wouldn't get it. You still would just think that, oh, these are some bad guys in Luke Cage.
Oh, no. I did get that, like, oh, okay, like, places like this are bad, even though I didn't know there really were places like this.
Because Tony Isabella told me that places like this is bad.
Well, yes. I'm pointing out that he did do some good.
Power Man, he has his own form of race relations when they called him boy. He said, come on, that isn't very white of you. Couldn't we talk things over? And I don't get this panel. He's standing over there looking at him, and they're falling down, doubled over. Oof, gack. Now, yeah, I would think that he punched him.
Yeah, but more likely he probably, like, kicked them in the balls. That's why he didn't want to show it.
But there's two of them, and they're both doubled over at the same time. He's only got, like, 1 foot that he can kick them with at a time unless he kicked both feet up.
Well, yeah, Luke's really fast.
And then
that is a bad panel. That should not have been cropped like that.
It's called sequential art, and what's that boy named Ron Wilson or whatever his name is? This motherfucker need to take classes in sequential art. He need to go to Joe Kubert's School of Art or something.
In fact, notice that the guards are standing apart in the first panel, and they're turned into a two-headed guard in the second panel.
Speaking of that, I want to see the two-headed, the thing with two heads. so I can see know what happened to Millen.
That's so hilariously bad. You never saw it. You do got to see that.
I saw the movie as a kid, but I can't remember what. I only think I saw the end, and I know what happens and what the story is about, but I don't know what happens to Ray Millen at the end.
Yeah, I'm sure they both. I'm referring to them as separate people. I'm sure the two-headed freak dies at the end.
I was thinking that Rosie Grier would live.
There were a couple two-headed movies. I think
this one had a race. This one has a message about race in it and social messages.
Oh yeah, because the white guy was really annoyed and pissed off that like he was attached to the black guy. Yeah. Meanwhile, the black guy just shows up to his girlfriend like, "Oh yeah, I got a second white head. don't let him bother you. I gotta fuck you."
I gotta see this movie.
And then there was another one where one of the head, well, actually the body was a big, strong retard. And like this evil head was attached to it, and the evil head was making the retard like kill people, and like he'd be strangling women, and like the retard would be crying as he would be strangling them, and the evil head would be laughing. Yeah, it was pretty cool too.
Now, speaking of two-headed monster, there's, it looks like a two-headed monster, but it's actually two characters supposed to be separate. They look like they're one character. It's DW and Luke. And he says, DW, I talked it over with the guards, and they end up green on our point of view 100% because I beat the living shit out of them. But all they did is just doubled over. Why wouldn't they just, like, ring the alarm, the guards? But by the way,
you were doubting that Luke has gay tendencies. Notice how he's gently cradling DW's head there in that panel.
It's a friend putting his arm on another friend's shoulder.
Mm. Does his friend have long girlish hair?
He said he wanted to make a stop to City Hall to ask a few questions. They run into a civilian, a woman walking her baby in the baby carriage.
Has a rifle strapped to it.
And he says, "Pardon me, Mama." Nah, okay, nice.
He's being polite. Yo, Mama. Hey, don't you want to fuck me, Mama? If you attach Mama to anything, whatever you're going to say is going to sound funny.
Yes, and so why would Tony Isabella add on more stereotypes of black men in this comic?
That's how Luke talks.
Whatever, dude. He's hero for hire. He's rubbed elbows with Danny Rand and all that.
Well, not yet.
I know. I'm just trying to make my excuse. But he says, "But why is his shirt is all out? His chest is all out. He's wearing his shirt is unbuttoned down to his navel."
It's 1974, and that's the look, apparently. Just like when you see all the 1974 blaxploitation movies with everybody's got bell bottoms, and actually everybody pretty much looks like Luke. Now that I'm thinking about it, you would actually see real people wearing shit like that, like that shirt.
Except for Tiara, the woman, he don't even let him get a sentence out. She grabs her rifles and yells, "Stranger, this isn't like the other towns. We're ready for your kind." And she starts shooting at him. Now, again, I'm getting, my head. Tony Isabella just hit me over it again. I'm hurting.
I'm like, she's acting all terrified, but like she's opening her mouth all wide here to, you know, as if to say, just put it right in here, baby, right in here.
What I want to know is, since they live in a secure city that's in the middle of nowhere, why does she need a rifle strapped to her baby's carriage?
Now that I'll defend, because the kind of people who would be paranoid and crazy enough to live in a place like that would all want to own fucking guns and shit, because that's how they are. That I buy. I have no problem with that.
This is Tony Isabella's, his left-wing liberal point of view of people who live in the sticks and want that they want their guns, their Second Amendment right, and they don't want to, white flight is what they call it. People who live in the mountains and shit because they don't want to be near black people and Hispanic. This is commentary.
Okay, from my own,
it's an easy target
as a city dweller, but still, people who do live like way out in the country pretty much do all own guns. So, but, yeah, what? It's realistic.
It's an easy target. No, it ain't realistic. He's just trying to paint them as.
No, these are people that deserve to be easy targets.
So she said, sorry, mama. But, you know, and he grabs a shotgun and breaks it. Then the whole rest of the town noticed right away they all got their guns and start shooting at him, even though they would have killed that woman. And,
but no. Look how. Notice that she is sexily terrified. She is so frightened by Cage that it's obvious she wants him now. But unfortunately, this is the last time we see her in this comic because, you know, got to keep the story moving along. It is a bi-monthly book.
And as they run your DW, he's basically saying, I'm a scared little bitch. I'm not made out for this. And Luke Cage tells them to run. They run right into City Hall.
By the way, I have no problem with the sidekick being a scared little bitch. This is not Captain America and Bucky.
that's true. And so he gets, as they go to Town Hall to talk to the mayor, they get captured by the forces, the police forces, of course, and they get brought into the...
By the way, I want to compliment Tony Isabella because he has now established everybody in this town does have fucking guns. Because that's important later.
Yeah, that's true. And then,
we got in that. What is it? See, it's 4:19 a.m. here. Was it make it 1:19? We gotta start doing these like earlier in the evening.
You know who called me?
I know, but I didn't see you pop up online until it was like 2 a.m. Philly time.
Whatever. Anyway, I've been on here for the longest since I got off of work. But so yeah, he goes to City Hall where they're showing a film about the city, you know, like a, what you call it, a commercial or something to get people to want to live here in Security City.
This is a scary, then again, you know what? It's like those old 50s films they used to make fun of on MST3K. Those things really are fucking terrifying. And so is this.
Those things are funny to me and I enjoy them.
Oh no, they're funny now.
You said there was one about a child molester. So they were is a gay child molester where a guy brought the kids to fishing and stuff. Is an older guy. He was trying to get kids in the neighborhood to hang out with him, and he was showing them dirty magazines and stuff. And of course, he looked like the guy looked like John Waters. He had a pencil mustache, and they didn't say gay, but they were saying like this. He's a perverted lifestyle. And they were trying to lump gay in with child molester. And it was amazing. It's from the 50s. It was good.
Yeah. And your first thought is, well, this was a long time ago. And then you realize, oh, shit, there's probably like churches and schools that still show these films.
I don't think that they are that out of date. There was some from the 1980s, like the early 80s, that they probably were out to show those.
Oh, I can imagine like stuff like that. Yeah, anything from the 80s. Kids, do you ever feel... Don't do drugs! Drugs will kill you! They will turn you into a raving psycho! Yeah. Meanwhile, Nancy Reagan was all hopped up on like painkillers or whatever, and who knows what the fuck Ronald Reagan was doing that he destroyed his own brain, what there was of it.
A lot of people unfortunately has Alzheimer's. It doesn't have anything to do with him doing something to destroy his brain.
Well, I just want to say, as far as his getting Alzheimer's, good. He deserved it. I hope he suffered.
I wonder if he still had that big boy's pompadour toward the end of his days.
No fucking way. In fact, I don't think he had that once he was like 35. It was probably.
I wonder if they bothered to try to keep the pompadour up, the wig or whatever it was on him.
Because I'm like, shit, William Shatner was losing his hair when he was doing Star Trek. He was wearing wigs and shit, so.
I was wondering if they tried to keep it up during his last days, like when he was in his, like, whatever, late 80s, early 90s, whatever he was in.
Yeah, probably. You could have had, like, I don't know, tabloid photographers appearing in the windows.
And now for something completely different.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm checking troubleshooter, moving down the line. I come apart, babe, but that's okay, cause trouble man, don't get in my way. I come apart, babe. I've been for real, babe. Gonna keep moving, gonna go to town. I come apart, I come up getting down.
So, oh, what's this film that they're showing about Security City?
Yeah, there's this, like, bitch here. She's on the phone. Mom, I had to call you and tell you how happy we are here in Security City.
She said, we have a lovely home. I didn't know this is scientifically engineered to the needs of a family our size. I want to know more about these scientifically engineered homes. What does that mean?
Yeah, it means they're all the same. And we know you don't have like 18 kids, so it should be fine for you. And look, like they've got like a creepy school because the kids are all like lined up and meek and obedient. And there's like ominous storm clouds above the American flag. That's cool. I like that little touch. But it's like even our neighbors are great. There aren't arguments as there were in the big city. People are relaxed here.
I know what he's trying to insinuate to. He's thinking about black people fighting with the more
people. You got to give the comic a point for that because, yeah, that's almost subtle, but you get it.
He's yelling and screaming. Like, you know how we play our music loud. Or Mexicans, they play their music all loud. And neighbors be yelling. And it's all crowded. People be fighting each other. That's what I was thinking of too. Oh my God. But it's, you know, Mom, we used to worry about the future when we lived in the big city with crime, drugs, and expenses. Remember when Cousin Alice got assaulted?
No, but I do remember when Cousin Alice got drunk and a dude fucked her and she tried to, you know, say it was rape afterwards. Yeah, that I remember.
What does that got to do with it?
Fucking Cousin Alice.
Boss.
Wait, what?
Anyway. She was assaulted. They didn't say nothing about her making up no stories about rape. They said
that's it's the subtext.
She could have just been walking down the street, and then the muggers came and assaulted her to get her money.
Well, she could have been walking down the street, and you probably came up to her and said, "Hey, baby," and she was all freaked out for weeks afterwards.
So, hey, mama.
See? Because, yeah, they respect old age here. They have much better nursing homes to throw them into.
This thing's just whopping me over the head.
They've got the church here and the Alfred E. Newman kid. Drugs. The Alfred E. Newman kid is on something because there's no other reason he'd be smiling like that.
I know his eyes are open wide. And, so, and how does those people produce such an ugly kid anyway?
Because that's not really the father. Shh, don't tell him.
He said, actually, the father is Alfred E. Newman. That's probably why that kid looks like that. Alfred is a bad motherfucker. I would like to know more about him. There was a Mad Magazine movie, but he wasn't in it.
You know what, though? What's most cool about Alfred E. Newman is that we don't know anything about him in the first
place. Yeah, that is true. Yeah, that's true. Because if they start telling stories about him, like, it'd take away the mystique.
You know what? After 9/11, they should have done a cover of like what was left of the World Trade Center and Alfred E. Newman in front of it doing his What Me Worry. That would have been perfect.
That's not funny. Nobody would have tolerated that.
I would have.
Anyway.
Wait, what's up with that little cracked kid? The blonde kid who's in the janitor's uniform?
He's not a kid. He's Sylvester. He's an old. He probably, to be honest, he's 40 years old, but he's got like stunted growth. He got like kidney problem like Gary Coleman.
Well, that's even more disturbing.
Huh. Yeah, I just always saw him as a complete ripoff, of course, of Alfred E., where they were trying to make a unique look. So they just really forced it by having this guy. He got two long bangs coming out of his janitor's hat and an overly long, big nose. I mean, overly big nose, no chin. They were just really trying to make a unique character, but you can't top Alfred E. Newman for that.
You know what? I'm going to compliment Marvel because at least Irving Forbush does look really different. I mean, he's literally got a pot on his head.
He's just a guy with pajamas and a pot on his head.
Right. It's a unique visual.
If you say so.
Well, if you're going to rip off Alfred E. Newman, at least like make him not look remotely like him. I'm just saying.
So anyway, the commercial goes off and the guy, we find out who the mayor is. He said, well, we didn't find out in this panel. We just see it's mystery for a couple of panels because Luke looks at him and says, "Sweet sister, you're dead."
But okay, now I'm going to attack Ron Wilson, the dramatic reveal of the villain from the back.
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, that's true because it's like a whole page taken. But he said, yeah, that's true. And he says, "I'm Gideon Mace." And yeah.
You have to take his word for it because we're looking at him from the back. That's what true. The fuck?
I knew something was not spectacular about that. And then the rest of the page is less than spectacular. It's like half of it is black because of the shadows. I'm like, come on. What? This is a horrible, horrible reveal page, horrible art. Look at Luke Cage's shirt, how he's drawn. Look how his fist is drawn.
You know, it was shit like this where, like, as a kid, I'm like, wow, how hard can it be to draw comics?
And look at this.
I don't see a lot of effort in this. I mean.
And look at DW's face. No expression whatsoever. It's supposed to be, we should be fearful of, look of fear. He's going to die. But look at his face.
And Luke is supposed to be furious and he's just sitting there like, yeah, just take my word for it.
I know I got my fist clenched, so that means I'm furious. And then he tells a story that we don't give a fuck about how he was foiled last time he fought Luke Cage, and we were supposed to thought he was dead, but
this
he survived.
Is this is Tony Isabella criticizing whoever wrote that first story with Mace.
How is that?
Yeah, it's got to be, because I'm assuming it was a different writer. The story is Gideon Mace fell from a helicopter after fighting Luke Cage into a river. He was assumed to have been drowned. And Gideon Mace is like, why would you fucking think that? I just took the mace off so it wouldn't weigh me down, and I swam to the surface. What? In other words, you, guy who wrote the first story with me in it, yeah, you're an idiot.
But no, because, I mean, why you would assume that it took him down, because who would think that he would have a detachable, well, he would have to. It would have to be detachable.
Well, yeah, well, like he says, did you think my mace was grafted to my arm?
That's true, because he couldn't sleep it with that shit next to him.
Ha ha! Imagine him trying to sleep with the mace, and he like rolls over and like hits himself over and over with the
he has a night emissions night dream, and he grabs his dick, but with the mace.
Oh, now that'd be funny though. Unfortunately, this is not a Vertigo book, though, in which they would do that. Speaking of Vertigo, everybody read Madame Xanadu. Do not read Scalped. In fact, whatever you do, do not read Scalped. Tim is reading it. He will keep that book in publication. I'm sure sales of one copy per month will suffice. But Madame Xanadu, I don't think anybody reads it. I want it to keep coming out, so everybody keep buying that book. So I can keep downloading it for free. Thank you. What?
Are you finished? Are you finished with this?
Yeah, Madame Xanadu is a really good book.
Why does y'all read all good comics? Because there's so few good comics. So read Madame Xanadu and also read Scalp. Not just one comic.
Let me think. What can I tell them not to read? Don't read anything by Matt Fraction. His name annoys me. You know his last name is not fucking Fraction. It's probably like Wojciechowicz or something. It's like, you know, don't support that. Plus, he made Tony Stark retarded. Nobody wants that. We just want Stark to keep being evil like he is. He's not retarded. Yeah, Matt Fraction, whatever. Don't read his stuff. I should come up with a whole list. Do not read the following writers. Let them go hungry and get real jobs. No, well, that'll be more books that like Grant Morrison and guys like that can write.
Fraction's a good writer. Anyway,
he's a fraction of a good writer.
And Grant Morrison, yeah, that sounds like that's really somebody. Warren Ellis, yeah, that sounds. Anyway, like their mama gave him that name. So anyway,
although the only guy I know for sure has a fake name is Frank
White.
Yeah,
what's wrong with that shit?
Well, he should be ashamed of himself for not using his real name. You know, look, when my mama named me Trenchcoat Mafia, know what? Let's change the subject here.
Exactly. And then, while the bad guys is unfurling their plans to Luke Cage, even though I don't know why they're going to kill him anyway. That's the stupidest thing.
Because it's every comic book ever.
Why are they doing that, DW? Is thinking to himself, he goes up to the projector that has the microphone on it. For some reason, it had a micro on it. And he thinks to himself, nobody's watching me. If I can adjust this sound system to tie in with the speakers outside, and then we don't see him.
Look at his face. And then look at his face in the next panel. That's not even the same guy.
It's not the same. Yeah, he's not in the same position. He's not near the projector. I don't know what a guy wouldn't have shot him if he did try to mess with the...
Okay, so DW, using his powers of teleportation, which also changes his appearance when he uses them. I'm trying to make this make any kind of sense. I do like that Luke just elbows the one guy behind him. That's pretty cool.
And then Mace hits him and knocks him down. He says, I'm hitting you hard with my titanium mace, Mr. Cage, and you can't stop this plan. We are dealing with exact factors. We selected the perfect citizens for this town. Sheep that could be led and molded into the patterns that we want. And he keeps calling them sheep and how they're conditioned. And you know what's going to happen.
And yeah, I like this rant. He's like, sheep like all Republicans, Mr. Cage. They will do as they are told. If we tell them, yes, go have a tea party, they will do it because they are deeply, deeply stupid.
He didn't say nothing about no Republicans, but anyway.
it's in the subtext. It's understood. Why doesn't Luke just grab his forearm and rip off half his arm, and then he doesn't have the mace anymore?
Oh, because you can't just kill like that in a Marvel comic.
No, he would just be maiming. You can't.
No, not that either. Just punch him in the face real hard and knock him down, even though that could cause a lot of damage too. But
I'm thinking of how he, quote, defeated Mr. Fish in the other story. Mr. Fish had to actually fall off the roof of a skyscraper. I mean, Luke doesn't get to actually beat any of his villains.
Well, as long as he wins in the end. And speaking of that, it looks like they won because somebody threw a brick in the window.
Because DDW like made it so that speech of Mace's was being broadcast to all the citizens of the town. And now they're pissed off because that's the default emotion / reaction of Republicans to everything, is to become angry and murderous.
Okay.
I like the captions. Remember, and I'm not making this up, remember those sheep, Gideon Mace? They're angry.
And then Mace gets pissed, and him and Luke Cage get into it, fighting each other. And see, this is sequential art. He need to take a class. This artist. First, he hit Mace, hits him, threatens him, and then Luke Cage hits Mace with a stick that I don't know where he found it. It looks like a chair leg. He hits him. He says, did you forget about me, sugar? Why is he calling men sugar?
Okay, well, we already established why he's doing that. And this panel actually proves it, because what he's holding is his personal dildo. That's on his person at all times. He's using it as a weapon here.
He hits him once across the head, then next thing you know, he's outside running. He got away. And he says, come on, DW, and he blocks the bullets that all the guards are shooting.
This panel would look great if another artist drew it.
But you don't think that this is like something that Kirby could do?
I think that every artist in Marvel in the 70s was told, look, just draw as much like Kirby as you can, which is in Ron Wilson's case isn't very much, except for maybe this one panel.
Okay, so
DDW's like crouching down for no reason, except, you know, whatever panel he swiped this from in a Kirby comic, the character was probably doing that, so yeah. And just for the record, bullets bouncing off Cage make the sound effect of zing. And I like that he drew the bullets so that you can see they've all been like bent when they hit Cage.
Okay, so he beats some more guards. They go outside. They see that the city is in a riot is going on. The citizens versus the security guards. And they're fighting a crazy battle.
Hey, Tony Isabella's like, he's bringing us the moral of the story here. Security City, an organized environment where you can raise a family in American traditions, like the right to bear arms, the right to restrict your town, and the right to grab for power. And yeah, the citizens and the guards are all killing each other, and we already saw from the baby carriage there's probably all kinds of collateral dead baby damage. That's cool to think about that. And DW is like, Luke, how about we go out the back way?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the rioting is only in front of City Hall, apparently. Because it's the last page.
And how are they going to know where the back way is? But anyway, where the sound is so small, as they walk away into the desert, and I don't know how they're going to survive the next few days because they're walking through the fucking desert.
Well, Luke's going to cook and eat DW.
Oh, okay. Oh, like boy and his dog.
Exactly.
Right. He said, when you really think about a case, maybe places like Security City are a good idea. You send all the jerks like Mace and all the clowns, like the people who fell for his line of bull there. Maybe they'll just go after each other and let the rest of us alone.
The end.
nice liberal message.
Seven out of ten.
Four.
Four out of ten. No, come on.
Yeah, I know it should be actually 2 out of 10 because there's nothing redeeming about this.
the moral of the story.
And they only get to, what more? You know what? We just put them all in town and let them kill each other.
Well, no, it's well, actually, yeah, that was a great. It's like, okay, well, if all these assholes, you know, want to just like remove themselves from the rest of us, and what, you know what? It's like, yes, let them, because then they'll have nobody to turn on except each other, and good. That's what they get. In fact, this reminds me of a Twilight Zone, but anyway, yes, 7. 4. Okay. You give everything a 4.
No, I give it
unless
a 2.
Unless it's like so big. Yeah, now it's a
2. Yeah, and the only thing I got 2 points is for this last panel here where it says, next issue, Goliath returns. Yeah, the Black Goliath comic.
No, it's not Black Goliath yet. I don't think. Maybe it was Bill Foster. You know, I'm not even sure because I didn't read the next issue. Because at the time, I would only get comics like from the corner store, and you would only get like random issues, like 3 in a pack. So like I had no control over like what would and wouldn't be available.
Why didn't you just get subscription to all the Marvel comics? They were cheap.
Because I was a little kid. I only had but so much like pocket money. And I hadn't become like a kleptomaniac yet. Oh, not that I ever was. I'm just saying. But yeah, they'd be in like in packs, like 3 for 20 cents or whatever. But like the covers would be ripped off, which in this case was just as well because the cover kind of sucked. But yeah, I mean, this is back in the olden days.
Well, that was Luke Cage number whatever it was.
23. Yeah. Hey, remember when they did introduce Bill Foster as Goliath, they like gave him cancer like a couple months later anyway or whatever? He was out of comics for a good long time. Then they brought him back and they had fake Thor like kill him right away.
That's what he was only there for, is to be killed. So he would have been in the story otherwise.
Yeah, that was not a good miniseries. Oh, well, anyway.
No, that was Civil War was good.
No, it was good until Mark Miller got sick and he started, like, hacking out the scripts. I mean, what was that? We're the good guys, really, and we're so good. We're making, like, I don't know, fake Thor that kills heroes and, wait a minute, hold on, what? Yeah, it didn't.
I'm too tired to defend it. I'll have to defend it next time.
Well, on that note, then, please ignore Timmy Thum's 2. This book was a 7. It was. What do you prefer?
Negative 7.
That, then, what was Mr. Fish?
Oh, I can't remember that much about it. It probably was a 5, strictly for the art, a 5.
Oh, for God's sake. On that note.